Herb, what do you call Iron Man without his suit?
I have no idea.
Stark naked. See, Iron Man's name is Tony Stark. That's just, you know. Thank you. That's affirmation. That's good. McKee's Rock said, that's good. My heart swells. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you and we ask you to be here. We lift up this message and this time. We put it into your hands. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. And whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to continue our look at our eternal reward, the reaping of the good works that we have sown in this life. I remind you that these eternal rewards are earned by temporal obedience, actually doing the good works that we were saved by grace through faith to do. Though these rewards are earned, God's grace is not uninvolved in our receiving of them. We earn reward for our work simply because God wants to reward us. It pleases him to do so. We cannot demand reward for doing what he saved us to do. We can only humbly accept it. This morning, we're going to take a look at another of the rewards that Scripture tells us that God's children will receive on Judgment Day. Crowns. Now, there is some dispute over this. I just want you to know there are some folks in Christendom that see crowns as not so much as a reward, but as the grace of God. I think they're wrong, but that's okay. The idea of crowns has a sort of lost its luster over the past couple of hundred years. We have fought wars to gain our freedom from people who wore crowns. For us, crowns represent royalty, a person distinct from common folks, usually symbolized by bedazzled, oversized hats. It took thousands of years for us to figure out that submitting ourselves to someone's rule simply because of the hat they wore was rather a capricious way of running a country. Much like a wife telling us what we can or cannot do simply because they wear a ring on a certain finger. Ask Mikhail, he'll tell you. What some call wedded bliss is really domestic tyranny. For us, crowns have come to symbolize authority over others who do not have a crown or those who have a smaller crown. They also symbolize royalty, those who were ordained, usually by God or birth, to rule over those who were not ordained by God or birth. Crowns, like royalty, have come to symbolize political oppression and a rather archaic way of governing a nation. Usually, these crowns are not earned, they are inherited. If you can't inherit one, you have to kill the guy who got it and then claim it was God's will that you have it. Now, this was summed up wonderfully in Monty Python's Holy Grail, where King Arthur is heading to a castle and the peasants are in the field. And as he goes by, he asks, who's in that castle? And he gets a response. He says, who's asking? He says, your king. And he gets a response from a peasant named Dennis. And here's what Dennis says. Listen, strange women lying in a pond distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. In other words, when the Lady of the Lake handed him Excalibur. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate of the masses, not for some farcical aquatic ceremony. Well, you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you. It's sort of our same idea with crowns. Point is, crowns have become rather out of vogue here on Earth since these verses were written. And another thought, if we're all wearing crowns, won't crowns become rather pedestrian? In Scripture, our eternal crowns are earned by working. Spurgeon notes there are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers on earth. They are not inherited, nor do we wrestle them away from someone else. Our having a crown does not diminish the prestige of the crowns of others, because there are two meanings to the word crown that we need to understand our eternal reward. One is a reward of victory, or mark of honor, especially the title representing a championship in a sport. And the second is the one we usually think of, a royal or imperial headdress, or capital of sovereignty, a diadem. The first of these meanings applies to us as our eternal reward. Think of our crowns in Scripture as Olympic medals. Since the modern games began in 1896, around 30,000 people have been awarded Olympic medals. That's a lot of medals. But that number does not reduce the symbol of accomplishment that each medal represents. They signify accomplishment at the highest standard, and just about everyone knows that. They have value. And it's worth noting that Olympic medals come in gold, silver, and bronze, representing an order of award, good, better, best, if you will, just as there are levels of rewards in heaven. The Bible clearly lists at least five crowns that will be awarded in heaven. Some people see seven distinct crowns in Scriptures, and all of those that see seven include these five. Others see only three distinct crowns, but that three is contained within these five. So let's split the difference and look at the five. First is the victor's crown, a crown that will be awarded for self-discipline. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as to not beat the air. But I discipline my body, make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, told them what they should do, I myself will not be disqualified. Live your life to win this prize. Make it your goal. Train for it. Discipline your body for it. Work for it. Read the word, fellowship, and pray with purpose. Think of the moment when you receive from Christ the imperishable wreath of victory, the crown of triumph over your own flesh, over the world, over pride itself. Know that this victory is something you choose to train for and to accomplish. You earn this crown, and not everyone does. This crown has true meaning, and it will retain its meaning forever. This crown symbolizes a life well lived for the kingdom. It says for all of eternity that you done good. You won the prize of value because you made it your goal and paid the price to win it. It's not an award for participation. It is an award for victory. When you wonder if the trials of this life are worth it, when you feel like giving up, when you just want to live a quiet solitude and silently wait for your time here to expire and watch others fight the fight, think of this moment, this crowning moment. The worst thing to ponder at this moment is what could have been, what should have been. Seize this crown now. Work for it. It doesn't matter how you started. It only matters how you finish. The best you were capable of is what is required. Leave nothing to regret. When you're tired, get up and work. When you're hurting, do what must be done. Earn this. Live for it. 2 Timothy 2:4 through 5 says, "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules." You cannot win the crown of victory if you dedicate your efforts to win something else, to win here. Pleasing God is to be your primary motivation, because no one can serve two purposes. You cannot cheat. There are no shortcuts, no standard but love of God and love of neighbor. As 1 Corinthians tells us, if we gain anything but we do not love, then we gain nothing at all. The next crown is the crown of rejoicing. This will be awarded to those who have led others to Christ and into Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20. "For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you? In the presence of the Lord our God at his coming?" When Jesus Christ comes, what I am going to feel rejoicing over is you. "For you are our glory and our joy. Paul tells those that he's ministered to, those that he has poured out his life for, that they are his crown of exaltation, joy, glory, rejoicing. A crown for living for others, for being the servant of all, for making choices that benefit others in the kingdom over yourself. What you thought, said, and did, you did for the salvation of the goats and the sanctification of the sheep. When you went out into the world, you lived the gospel for their sake, because you valued them more than you did your own life. You were the image of Christ to this world. Love is never for nothing. God sees it all, and he will reward it all. Philippians 4:1 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, who I love to see, my joy and my crown. In this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Paul tells the church that they are his joy, his crown, and that he loves them. All the pain they caused, all of the disappointments, all of the sacrifices he made for them didn't matter because they were worth it. Love makes them so. God will reward this love with a crown, a ward of exaltation. He will point them out, each one of them, the service of love you rendered for them, and they will be your glory, and you will be the glory of others. All one body, glorified by and in the love of God. Next is a crown of righteousness. This will be awarded to those who have a longing for the Lord Jesus, those who look for Jesus' return. 2 Timothy 4:7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing. In Paul's last letter, he tells his dear friend and protege, Timothy, that he knows that his end is near. He summarizes his life, and he makes a claim of victory. He proclaims that he has backed the right horse. Time has proven his choice to be wise. As this life ends, he looks forward to his eternal future. He says, I have fought, I have finished, I have kept. I have earned what is waiting for me in heaven, the award, and you earn awards, of righteousness. I was able to do what I did because I never stopped looking forward to what lies ahead. I never got mired down in what had already happened and what is happening now, because I knew the ultimate truth was in front of me. My life was built around a singular moment where Christ returns for me. Because I loved his coming more than any other thing, I will be noted as righteous in his sight. It will be pointed out. Because I believed what I could not see and allowed it to form my life, because I had faith, and that's what believing is, in his word and promises, he counted it to me as righteousness. Just as Genesis 15:6 tells us about the faith of Abram, Abram believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. So it will be credited to Paul. So it will be credited to you who look forward to the coming of the Lord. I believed him because I love him, because I know he loves me. This is righteousness. This will be rewarded. Next is the crown of life, awarded to those who have endured and triumphed over trials, temptations, and persecutions. Revelations 2:10-11. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. I wasn't fearing anything until you told me I was about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Plural. This crown is particular, as it has some debate attached to it. Some see it as a product of salvation, given to all those who are saved. Others see it as a reward for those who persevere under particularly harsh times, even those who are martyred. Folks who believe that salvation could be lost tend to see this as a sign of salvation. is only those who overcome hardship will be saved, while those who do not will face the second death. In other words, our works save us, not reward us. While this reference in Revelation may speak to a specific group, a specific church of believers who are facing at that time the wrath of Satan for 10 days, also know that that same reference is in Daniel. But in the principle that's spoken here, even if it is for a specific group, can it be applied to all? But in the book of James, there appears to be a broader, more universal application of the crown of life. James 1:12 says this, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Here, trials are what is to be overcome by the believers. It is the task. The purpose of trials is to approve us. Once we pass the test, meet the standard that must be met, we will receive the crown of life. This crown is promised to those who love the Lord. All of our good works are the product of our love of God and fellow man. This reward here seems to be focused more on our love of the Lord, unlike some of the other crowns, which are more focused on the love of your neighbor, if indeed the two can ever truly be separated. Finally, the crown of glory, awarded to faithful shepherds of the people of God and to Christian leaders. 1 Peter 5:2 through 4. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Regarding this, R.C. Sproul wrote, "When we, whether or not we are ordained leaders, it's not a matter of title, it's a matter of responsibility, faithfully care for those under authority, we can expect to receive an unfading crown of glory. Yet even this reward is from God's grace, since none of us will ever perfectly shepherd the flock entrusted to him. And in the end, this reward will be offered for God's glory. For one day we will cast these crowns at the foot of him and the foot of his throne in worship." If you see Revelations 4 and 22. And that's an important part. Every one of these crowns we will joyfully throw to the feet of Jesus Christ, because we know where they came from and we know how we got them. Anyone of us who serves others with diligent leadership will be rewarded by God with the crown of glory. This is not about being the boss. This is about being the servant. This is about serving. Those who care for the sheep that God cares for, those who value the pearls of great price as God values them and does whatever they can to minister to them. The greatest among us is the one who serves the body most diligently. These will be recognized by God. Here, Peter lists the criteria for receiving the crown of glory. He lays it out for you. First, shepherd the flock you're in. Care for it as a shepherd does his sheep. Wherever you find yourself, do what you can to help those people. Second, do not do this because you're forced to do it, but do it because you care and you love them. Paul makes the same point in 1 Corinthians 9:16 through 17, saying that because God compelled him to serve in such a manner, he has no reward for doing what he does. How was he compelled? God stood in front of him in a blazing vision and blinded him until he obeyed. That's compulsion. He was ordered to do it. Third, do not do this for money or take advantage of your position of authority. Maybe we could all think about that one. Fourth, do not do this to satisfy your pride, but rather do it eagerly and enthusiastically. Serve the body of Christ. Remember, he allows you to do this. He permits you to serve his great treasure. And finally, live as an example. Do as I do, not just as I say. As Paul often states boldly, which always fascinates me, follow my example. Those are bold words. Live like I live. Do these five things while serving the body of Christ, and you will receive the crown of glory. These crowns are the eternal blessing of the Lord for good works you have done here and now. He wants you to have them. He desires to give them to you. It blesses him to bless you. Don't fear blessing. Don't fear reward. Work for them. It pleases God. And if for no other reason, do these things so that God can be pleased. We get the cookie for eating our vegetables. We get paid for doing our own chores. There is icing on the cake, and we get to eat it and keep it too. Don't argue the point with false humility. Accept the idea of awarding crowns and enjoy it. It is what God wants for you. You were created to be loved by God, and this is what love does. Amen.